Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to begin a study or a series of studies on the authority of the King James Bible. This particular study today is entitled Science Falsely So-Called. Science Falsely So-Called. The intent of this study is to strengthen the believer in the enabling the believer to know that they have the Word of God. As you will notice throughout this study, the intent is to present a case for the Word of God. I believe that God has preserved His inspired, infallible, inerrant words in the Authorized Version 1611, most commonly known as the King James Bible. Amen. We begin in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And 1 Timothy chapter number 6, in verse number 20, the Word of God says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. And then in the book of Colossians in chapter number 2, in verse number 8, the Word of God tells us, Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The world's science will attempt to teach you that they are ahead of God. But let me tell you, the Bible is so far ahead of man in science. In fact, this is the reason it's a forbidden book in our schools. For the Bible, my dear friends, is the final authority. The Bible is more than a book of do's and don'ts. It's a book, yes, it's a book that was written by God and is far ahead of man. The Bible, the Word of God, is a science book. Accurate in every way. The Bible, yes, the Bible is a history book, accurate in every way. Our lesson today will show you how far ahead the Bible is to science, and why the Apostle Paul stated there, we just read it a moment ago in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, science falsely so-called. And of course, when I say the Bible throughout our study, I'm talking about the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible. Let's begin in the Word of God right at the beginning in Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible states, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice it says God created. God created denies atheism and evolution. God created, this denies the many gods of Hinduism. And this puts down the ecumenical movement. Christ is a creationist. In Mark chapter 16, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, in verse number 19, Jesus said, For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created under this time, neither shall be. We also see, if you turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 4, that Moses was also a creationist. That's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4 with me. Deuteronomy chapter number 4 now. In verse number 32. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse number 32. The Word of God says, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it." God created. The Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, that God created the heaven and the earth. This denies pantheism, that God is one with the universe. This denies the teaching of evolution and theistic evolution. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," has all five elements of science. Number one, time, beginning. Space, heaven. Motion, created. Matter, earth. Energy, God created. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, in verse number 160, the Word of God says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Thy word is true from the beginning. God's word, my dear friends, has always been true. In Psalm 14, verse number 1, in Psalm number 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The Bible states that the atheist is a fool. For only a fool would look out at the creation and state, "Oh, it just happened." Only a fool would state that man just happened to exist. To look at the complexity that exists in man and think that it was an explosion that caused us to take place, only a fool, yes, only a fool, would deny the existence of God. Only a fool would believe that a man is ahead of God in any aspect of life. Yes, my dear friends, the Bible, the Word of God, the AV 1611 King James Bible is a science book. Even in the very beginning of the Bible, we see that the Bible is ahead of science. For science in schools teach a lie from hell called evolution. The Big Bang theory, theist evolution, is taught in many Christian schools. This, my dear friends, is another lie of the devil. Theistic evolution is this: God created and then evolution took over. This is trying to play both sides of the fence, amen? Either you believe God and take him at his word, or you believe the devil. Let's look now at the Bible and astronomy for a moment. The Bible and astronomy. We see that the death, the burial, and resurrection is declared by the heavens. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms. First, we want to look at Psalm 19. Psalm number 19 with me, in verse number 1. In Psalm 19, David the psalmist writes, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Look with me also in Psalm number 50. Psalm number 50. In Psalm number 50, look in verse number 6 with me. Psalm number 50, verse number 6. In the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. And then in Psalm number 97, in Psalm number 97 with me, please. In Psalm number 97, in verse number 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Take a look around and see the heavens, my dear friends. When the sun sets in the west, it dyes blood red. It is then buried, is it not? And it rises in the east. This, my dear friends, is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of Christ, amen. Notice also that the heavens, yes, the heavens give a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. For the sun rises in the east, just as Christ will return from the east. Look with me in the Word of God, first in Zechariah, chapter number 14. In Zechariah, chapter number 14 with me, in verse number 4. In Zechariah, chapter 14, and verse number 4, the Word of God says this, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming, at his return. In his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. See, there's the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Then look with me, if you would, in Malachi, the prophet Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, in chapter number 4. Malachi chapter number 4, in verse number 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, notice that, the sun, that S is capitalized, it's capital S-U-N, of righteousness, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And then look with me in Matthew chapter 24, where we know the context of Matthew 24 is the tribulation. Amen. And Matthew chapter 24 with me, in verse number 27, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. My dear friends, when you look and you see that sun rising every morning from the east, that's to remind you and to remind me that the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is returning someday. That's right. For his bridegroom, the church, the body of Christ, all those that have been saved since the day of Pentecost up until the rapture of the church. And yes, that sun that rises in the east each morning is to remind you and to remind me, not only is the church going to be raptured out, but we're going to return with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, from the east to put down the insurrection against God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. Amen. Then we see, amen, the heathen. The Word of God tells us that the heathen are without excuse. Thus we see that the heavens declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in his second coming, does it not? And this is why Paul stated that the heathen are without excuse. Look with me in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. In Romans chapter number 1, we read in verse number 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And what Paul was saying, the invisible things, the spiritual things, the things that you cannot see are revealed, amen, in picture and type, amen, of things that you can see. As we said, the setting and the rising of the sun pictures the death, burial, and resurrection. So even though someone doesn't have someone preaching the gospel, the heavens are preaching the gospel to that heathen as he sees the sun die in the west, the blood red, and is buried, and then the next day rises from the east again. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now let's look at the sun, the moon, and the earth. The moon is a picture of the Christian. The sun is a picture of God the Son. For the moon does not reflect its own light, but the light of the sun. The Christian has no light of his own, but reflects the light of the Son of God. The moon is between the sun and the earth. And at times there is an ellipse, and it appears if you cannot see the sun. However, it is there. The Christian is between the sun and the world. But at times the world gets in our way, and we cannot see the sun. But remember, he is always there for us. Turn to Job chapter 25 right now with me, please. The book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 25. Job chapter 25. Look what the word of God has to say in verse 5. It says, "Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight." When did science discover that the moon did not shine? Over 2,300 years after the book of Job was written. For years it was taught that the moon shined. However, God stated the moon does not shine. Amen. All someone had to do was pick up a dime store King James Bible. Amen. That's right. Let's look at the sun, rays, and the Trinity. Let's see how the Trinity is represented by the sun rays. Again, we go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1 with me. In Romans chapter 1, look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter number 1, in verse number 20 again, we read just earlier, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, let's look at the sun rays and how it is a picture, a type, it reveals the Trinity. Light rays, for example, picture the Son of God, God the Son. You can see the light rays, but not feel them. Amen? You can see the light rays, but not feel them. The sun has been seen, has he not? How about heat rays? Heat rays are a picture of the Holy Spirit. You can feel the heat rays, but not see them. Just as you can feel the Holy Spirit work in your life, but not see him. And then there's the ultraviolet rays, which is a picture of God the Father. You can neither see nor feel the ultraviolet rays. Just as the Father, God the Father, you cannot see nor feel. Notice with me how the Godhead is impressed upon the universe. For example, with time, you have the past, the present, future. There's three there. How about answers? You have yes, no, and maybe. Again, three there. How about electricity? You have positive, negative, and neutral. Again, we see the Trinity there, the Godhead expressed there. How about location? You have the land, sea, and air. How about music? We see harmony, rhythm, and melody. How about music note? You have pitch, volume, duration. Look at places. We see three there. Hell, earth, heaven, and then space. Length, width, depth. This is only a short list of the many threes in the universe. Now we want to see how the Bible is ahead of the Atlas. Amen. In the days of Moses, it was taught that the earth was carried around on a great big strong man's back. And when he sneezed, this created an earthquake. Later, as time went on, it was taught the earth was carried around on the back of a turtle. People also believed that the earth was flat and you could fall off the edge of the earth. Notice with me, would you, in Job chapter 26, the book of Job. Job chapter 26 with me. In Job chapter 26, in verse number 7, the Word of God tells us, He stretcheth out the north over the empty space and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So we see that the earth is suspended, amen? That's right. It hangeth on nothing. It's round. Job wrote this 3,500 years ago. Now notice with me in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 22. Isaiah chapter 40 verse number 22 with me. It says, It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. We see that Isaiah tells us that the world is round, and it's looking down from way above, and the people on it look like grasshoppers. They're so small, amen. We see that science finally caught up in the 1500s. We see that Magellan sailed around the world. I remember a song that I sang as a child in school that went something like this. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Prior to Magellan and Columbus, folks believed that you could fall off the edge of the earth. If they would have read their Bibles, they would have realized that the earth was not flat and was held up, as we were told in Job 26, verse 7, by nothing. It took science, amen, a few thousand years to catch up to the Bible Yet folks will state that the Bible is not a science book. Look with me if you would. We want to see how the Bible is ahead of NASA, or the National Aeronautics Space Administration. Look at in Genesis chapter 2 with me. All the way back to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2 with me, we want to look at verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2 in verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What's interesting, in 1982, NASA scientists discovered that all the ingredients needed to form a human being can be found in clay. It took science over 3,000 years to catch up. It does not take a rocket scientist to discover what God told us over 3,000 years ago. In fact, my dear friends, the education, that's right, the education of many will get in their way. Is that not true? Oh, but they want to put down the Bible. Oh, they want to say the Bible is old-fashioned, it's behind the times. As we've seen today throughout our studies, the Bible is way ahead of science, is it not? It's so much easier to believe the Word of God, is it not, than to believe man's theories. And that's all they are. That's all evolution is, my friends, is a theory. It's never been proven. It's never been proven. In fact, it's much easier for you and I to believe the Word of God. As we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven in the earth, than to believe some foolishness as evolution that's never been proved. Amen. It's just a theory, and that's all it is. But as we go through the series of studies, and by the time we get to the end of it, you're going to have no doubt, my dear friends, no matter what the so-called Bible scholars will say and tell you, but you'll have no doubt that that authorized version, 1611 King James Bible, and if you don't have one, you need to get one, and get rid of all those other butter knives, all those other makeshift Bibles that don't stand up. Do you ever wonder why they compare the King James, all the other Bibles to the King James? Because the King James, the AV 1611, is God's preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant words. That's all the time that we have on the Pastor's Study today.